Blog Talk Radio.
כל הלילה התבלבלתי והיה לי מעולה.
Yeah.
new direction. Gray Boy, D. Lawrence, Choir Music. It's a Chicago thing.
Hey.
When they what? That's right, y'all. Tell them about it.
Your mic is open.
This is Humanity Unite Under Oneness of Love. Weekly lessons with Jakim Diago, and I am blessed and thankful for the opportunity today. I will begin with a prayer. Thanks to the Creator Most High for giving us an opportunity to be on this call and for us to be able to come together. Amen. Like that, I hope that everybody's children and family is in good health and in good spirit, and that everybody can come with a clear mind and a clear heart and a clear under the oneness, soul creator of our universe, and we hope to arrive at deeper understandings at the end of these conversations. So first and foremost, I would like to introduce who we have on the show tonight, and first is my brother and teacher as well, someone that I learn a lot from as well, as I believe the Creator has sent me individuals to my life to learn from their experiences as well as knowledges that he has given them, and I have been blessed with the opportunity to have them on the show tonight. So first is Mr. Ron Robinson. I would like you to say something about yourself and allow you your time, please. That is me.
Oh, okay.
You hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, everybody's unmuted.
Yeah,
the
red,
okay,
you're unmuted. The blue is muted.
Okay.
A little technology right there, right? My name is Reverend Dr. Ron Robinson, a minister, retired psychologist. I've just been 72 years in struggle, you know, struggle for economic, struggle for better conditions for people. It started off in South Carolina where I was born, where I was raised, actually. And it was during the struggle of the civil rights movement and stuff like that that moved me, encouraged me. But I believe that God, and my grandmother always said that I was called to the purpose of being a minister, and I since I was a young boy, I never had that compassion in front of myself. But eventually, you know, it grows into you. You end up following it. It's in your spirit. And so I've led in many different organizations, ran many different departments for the hospital, served, you know, in health departments and mental health, as a psychologist and self-employed CEO, president, of different companies over the years. God has blessed me to be in a lot of different capacities, have taught English in foreign countries, and as well as taught here and the professorship. I'm getting to understand I'm a servant. And wherever God wants me, wherever he wants to use me, wherever he sends my compassion, is where I want to go. I wanted to get the message out to men and women and children, boys and girls, Christians and Jews and Muslims and rabbis and ministers and imams. I wanted to get the question out many, many years ago, and one day I know Jaquan is going to research and he's going to come with some subject matter on this. People do not own God, nor do they own religion. It don't belong to you. It's not your personal thing. It's not your capacity to use it as you want for your selfishness. And it's not something that you created. It's something spiritual and something beyond your human capacity to get to without the Creator's assistance and help. And unity amongst all people, unity amongst all religions and all cultures, all of ethnicities, all races. That's what I'm about. That's what I was always about. And I had this blessing to meet Jaquan Diego many, many, many years ago and meet him again in another capacity. And it's just been a blessing. And I want to thank God for him and his spirit, because you learn a lot from people, regardless of their capacity, where they're at in life or whatever they're doing. Do not turn people away. Don't turn children away. Don't turn elderly people away. Don't turn homeless, helpless, drug addict, alcoholic, anybody in whatever condition you see them in. Don't turn them away if they come to you, because you can learn a lot from people. And I've learned a lot from many, 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 many people over my lifetime. And now I'm just about trying to educate each one, reach one, and try to educate people as I go along. So that basically is about me, father of six. The 12 grandchildren, 8 great great grand, and 7 great great grand. And other ones are so great that I can't even tell you all about them. But I'm just moving forward in my ability, what I can do as God is leading me. Thank you so much.
Amen. I pray that the Creator continually blesses you on your journey into higher understanding of Him in that walk. And I want to thank him for allowing you to be, a part of my life and our journey. So me, myself, have been, I appreciate the time that I have that the Creator has given you to the earth and things that I can learn from things that you've endeavored and gone through in your past as well. So I'm definitely grateful for that. This our second guest, and before we get into our topic that we have tonight, is a teacher that I had met some time ago. And I'll go deeper into my background. This is actually what this topic is going to start with, myself. And while I was actually incarcerated at some point, while I was actually studying with my pastor at this time. So when I say my pastor, I do not mean I was within Christianity, because I was still like going within different churches. But I never attached to myself a label. But I was still studying. Like, I was probably, I'm going to say I was the only one who went to probably, like, every service in the prison and trying to learn deeper about the oneness of the Creator. And during this time, Sir Dr. Imam Askia Muhammad, who I'm introducing, and he will be able to speak on his own background, I got an opportunity to meet him. And I will delve deeper into that background, because both of these individuals that I'm mentioning actually play a huge role in my story. So without further ado, Dr. Imam Askia Muhammad.
Yes, good evening, everyone. I am deeply grateful and honored to be on the program this evening. My name is Imam Dr. Askia Muhammad. And my history is basically working in the community. You know, I was born a member of the Nation of Islam, and one of the things that we did was attempt to build our community and build an independent nation. And I was just awash in that philosophy, in that ideology, that the individual is responsible for building their own community. And so we've worked in that area. I served as a chaplain on Rikers Island for 30 years and met some wonderful people there. And we were able to establish an excellent relationship with all of the people of faith. And I attended a New York Theological Seminary where we studied Christianity, and I met many from the Christian family, from the Christian faith, and we received a Master's of Divinity from New York Theological Seminary and a Doctorate of Ministry. And so I'm a Muslim with 2 degrees in Christian theology. Yeah. And so we're grateful for that. And that was one of the most rewarding experiences of my life, to study with my Christian brothers and sisters. And we did that so that we can effectuate a unity and an organization among us, so that we can commence the building of our community and the strengthening of one another and support for one another in our own respective faith traditions. So thank you very much. And this is my introduction.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Imam. With that, I would like to say that I am grateful to have you on. I know the atmosphere of this radio shows and such may not be forte, but it is appreciated to have you on. And as in his introduction, you can see that I'm going to say that humans in life are allowed to have what we consider role models. And when we have role models, as I'm a 32-year-old youth, I'm going to consider myself young, at least I would hope so, that 32 is young. And with that, my young counterpart, other youths younger than me in their 20s and teens, they have what is deemed, they could be movie stars, they could be basketball players, ancient war heroes, etc. People have, they take knowledges from or emulate in action. It's a human nature characteristic. So myself, after and going into my, when I started to see the world from the shoulders of, and, you know, first standing with the supreme creator of the universe, and then the creator actually, through his love and mercy, he creates people who keep this ongoing trend of principles perpetual throughout the universe, in which it's like reaching towards a pinnacle, to a point designated to itself. So I started to realize why the creator makes people and who are the people in which he created. And then in analyzing different kinds of people and purposes in which we are made, I started to realize, why do I come in contact with people? What is the creator doing in my life that I'm in contact with this certain individual? And then I could say in my own right that we take people on a scholar level, or we'll take somebody on a, or like a modern academic, or like just a someone we can take advice from, down to lean on like a friend. I'm going to say in my own right that I put in a scholarly category because of his level of study and because he is open to, I don't know how to really word it. I wouldn't say like, well, you have to be open for, I don't want to use the word, I'm not going to use the word. I'm going to say he's open to the process of gaining knowledges. So there's like a critical process that must be in analyzing information and knowledges that we have at our disposal, starting with inward reflection to what is given to from on Most High, to things that we can analyze with the perception of God, to the things we can analyze with our touch, etc. And I learned that information that is not under that scrutiny would only leave it up to what in our lessons to come that cover what is going to be called relevant truth. And I feel like my life was clouded by that. I questioned everything around me and found holes in what was around me. I tried to find out if this was an untruth or a truth. And when it found out to be, it was somebody's relevant truth. So I was argued against facts because this was a truth that was relevant to said individual. And growing up, I did not understand what was happening. And for youth, it's very confusing, especially for people growing up. It's highly confusing, and it leads us down all types of avenues, especially when we have a system that doesn't perpetuate truth. It tries to facilitate a lie. So with this, and with that topic at hand, I also want to say that I have a Ms. Santiago, my recently married to wife. She herself has a background of, you know, learning about the Bible and learning in church services and being in ministry and helping actually with leading community and actually more involved in the works. I'm going to say, like the brother, he focused deeper on the works that needed to be obtained and the relationship aspect with the Creator. So that relationship facilitation is still in my heart, the works of perpetuating his will being done here and now on earth. So I would say I was kind of in like a box where I tried seclude myself off what was happening deep inside myself, but the Creator was calling me to something, and inside myself it wrestling. I had this have a case looming over my head that was pressure, and it was the experience that I endured while I was incarcerated and imprisoned that started awakening my calling to Him. And my it's like a responsibility the more you delve into wanting to understand the higher knowledges of the universe. So when I saw her enthusiasm, one thing I would say about, you know, our sisters and in the church, her energy, you know, her faith, her enthusiasm towards seeking and wanting to learn more about the Creator. That is the basis of our love, I will have to say. Like, it inspired us to be together and inspired us to see us, you know, one another mentally. And I'm a hold to that was the core of our marriage. And it leads to the basis of the ministry. I can focus on family development and understanding the core into building a community versus getting distracted by that. It was a huge obstacle for me for a long time. My imam actually told me, like, when I was really early into learning that he would say that would be one of my biggest challenges, which actually turned out to be one of my biggest challenges. And now I'm married, so I am grateful that I felt the Creator was equipping me for the ministry to come. So God will, I would hope that is the fact. I'm not going to speak on it like I know it's to be the case. Hopefully this is what is speaking out to me. So amen to that. That's some background, and that's into the lessons at hand. So the lessons in hand, the goal, right? So I'm going to read the headline for our tonight's episode. Humanity Unites, Abundance of Love, Weekly Lessons with Joaquim Diago. My name is pronounced Joaquim Diago. Joaquim actually means the last in a language. Indian, a person told me. And Diago is a contraction of my previous name as Diaz and my wife's last name, Santiago, putting it together as, that is my name. All right, so it says, humanity has been divided too long. We know as religion, politics, and culture. We never ask one another where do these narrations come from, or on what grounds do we follow or adhere to religious practices and values. Therefore, I, Joaquim Diago, along with those who are together to define the principles that go into forming a nation and the process it takes for us to adhere to literature in regards to the Bible, the Tanakh, the Quran, the Vishnu, the Gita, or any other literature claiming that it is revelation from the Most High Creator of the entire universe. Therefore, is to take a look at what drives humanity to form communities that evolve nations that stand as government. We intend to take a look at what it looks like to search for higher knowledge and wisdom together in the hopes of at a community founded on the principles that we are conscious, sentient, under the sole Creator of the universe, and we may live in prosperity, peace, here on earth and in the next life to come. Amen. So the central theme is that there is no way defined in what I just said. There's no singular way as of yet. Though I am open to my own biases through conditions I may have gone through in my own life, thus a council must be formed. And this is in the hopes that we get to analyze history and information from multiple standpoints and from a more objective eye. This is also because many false, how you say, leaders have come forward on the basis that they have either doctrine from the Creator, they are prophets from the Creator, they are messengers from the Creator, they are prophets and messengers from the Creator. Some of them are angels incarnate, some of them are God incarnate, and et cetera. So right now we are in a time that humans can lay claim on multiple angels of divinity for themselves, or on authorities that they base this on. What does this lead to? So in our world, we're dealing with cults. So when we're dealing with cults, religions, we're dealing with gangs, we're dealing with armies, factions, et cetera, groups. Humans obviously divide themselves into groups, either consciously or unconsciously. You're either divided on morals and values, which humans stand to divide on, or you're divided on culture and religion, etc. So this leads us on a search on how do you know about the Creator? How did you learn about the Creator? Why did you choose to this way as your way as the Creator? And what are the basis that go into form a community? What are the basis to forming a government? Is a community that has centralized government a nation? Is a community without the business to produce its own food and its own clothing a community? And these are the things that must be so that way we can look at the core values in what creates community and see if the precepts and the doctrines in which people are is still on the basis of the same basis that goes into the principle that the entire universe is running on. Because the universe is moving off to, because the sun is not a lie. You can't say you don't see the moon. You can't see the ocean. You can't say you don't see the earth and the plants that grow on it, the ecosystem, animals that it brings forth. So you see that as truth. And they follow a principle that cannot be. The sun gives off solar energy that makes actual sun rays the food and nutrients for plants that make chlorophyll, and through chlorophyll they are green. They can absorb sunlight and create cells, and then they can produce oxygen by absorbing carbon dioxide and filtering and keeping our planet stable. So this is a relationship that is a fact, not a theory, not what we want to think. And without humans or not, that relationship will continue to exist. That's a principle of law that can be disrupted by man's hand, unless we actually create a something and not get it off the face of the thing. Well, I don't think we're doing that. But besides that, yeah, a principle that cannot be broken. You breathe oxygen. You need oxygen. Thus, we need plants on the planet. You cannot break that. That is something that must be met. That's something that must be met. It is law. It is something that exists outside man's hand, whether the government wants it or not. It's something that cannot be changed nor altered. So I'm looking for a community that can ground on that, where we analyze and read into things, looking for the principle of its application. With application which leads to communal development and evolution of the human mind and soul. Without the continued evolution of humanity, we are no longer moving. We are now a creature that is no longer moving forward towards its pinnacle, towards its destination. So first and foremost, the first lesson is, so as I think, so as I am. And this revolves around the existence of our creator without any books. So we're taking it back to primordial time, a time where you don't have the internet. There's no Bible. There's no Quran. There's no Tanakh. There's no Vishnu. There's no Gita. There's no epics. There's no epics. There are no epics of anything talking about the creator. Now we have a planet. We have a universe that dates back our sun about 13.8 billion years ago. They date back younger than that, and other matter in the universe that might date it back 58 billion before the sun even came into existence. And they estimate that the sun took about 30 million years from when it became a dwarf, from a spark when it was condensing in gas and dust-like matters into itself through the spinning and the friction that it caused and the condensing. It eventually formed a star and heating up of itself through 30 million years, it eventually ignited into the sun that we understand. From that sun, from the energy that it gives off, by the great creator, billion years later, 4.5 billion years to be exact, was here. Now, the earth did not just poof and assemble. It went through a long, tedious period of developing just as our sun did. And as it developed, it covered in just magma at one point. And the way water actually entered our planet is still unknown, like how it just fell, like either giant ice, either the one theory is giant ice rocks just hit it, or, huge blocks of water just smacked into our planet, thus condensing the heat of its outside and cooling it and forming rivers and terra and all of that added to it. It was multiple theories behind it. They just can't fully define water was introduced to the planet. And however that is, we'll get down to it. When Earth, here we are, we know, whether you understand or not, it was an ancient time period where dinosaurs and prehistoric creatures existed. And before that, they dated back to the Precambrian, where there were actually aquatic life that it formed first. You know, algae, other very microscopic organisms. You had the things that created the components named life. And then from there, you had the appearance of intelligence on land, and then you had the evolution of different epochs of humanity, whether you understand that. There are Neanderthal bones. There are Argelopithecus bones. There are multiple bone fragments throughout different periods and epochs of humanity's nature that prove that humanity actually did evolve or form and change throughout the periods of time. This is there. Now, outside of ourselves with a sun and we sit around the planet, animals themselves form communities. Without bees pollinating the plant, without their intelligence of forming communities, down to ants and how they form and communities, down to even burial rites. Ants bury their dead. Ants communicate in different languages. They actually stay together. They know how to protect each other from the cold. They know how to hold each other when they're cold. They're actually highly intelligent and actually very centralized as a community. Who taught them how to bury their dead? That's for another time to that point. But as we go forward with the communities and the worms, the ground, they germinate the ground. And around the earth, we have a atmosphere that protects us and actually keeps the heat and energies and radiation of the sun in check for sustained life. Outside of that, we have a galaxy that we're part of, which this is just Milky Way. This is the Milky Way galaxy, which forms millions and millions of solar systems within the Milky Way galaxy, which is a galaxy out of trillions galaxies forming around us. Now, further outside of that, they, in the infinity theory, we are in a multiverse that even in the physical matter that you see before you, even planets that are invisible before the naked eye, you can't even see certain sections of without certain lenses that they have to put the microscopes under because the fragments of reality was not on the same optical lenses as our current eyesight. There's multiple layers of existence also that man has yet to reach the pinnacle. Now, if we reach all the way to the ends of space and we analyze all these things, and then we remove it. Let's remove Big Bang altogether. That spark didn't happen all the way down. Remove all the suns, the moons, the outside the earth. Now we have none of that. Now we have just either for you flat earthers who believe the planet is flat, or those who believe that the earth is round, now you have nothing. No plane, nothing. Remove the sky, the seas, remove the oceans, remove the plants, remove all of that synchronicity I just mentioned down, which itself is a universe. From your human eye, your eye and its optical abilities to transfer billions and millions of messages to your brain simultaneously, to your touch, all the messages it sends to your brain when you feel it, to when you taste the food, to your heartbeat, to your kidneys, to your blood system, to your veins, to your all your organs, to your white blood cells, to every organism in your body, microscopic, crawling on your skin or inside you. It's all working. It's just you now. It's just you standing in existence, nobody else, just yourself. Now, pull that out. All that synchronicity in your body from being able to run, now that's gone. Remove everything that you thought made you you. Maybe you would have been more handsome or look something else. Remove all of that. Now you don't have it. Now remove yourself. Remove your thought from this situation. You can't hear me no more. You're not there. You can't hear or respond. You can't think what you thought yourself. Now you're gone. Now there's nothing else. What is there? There's no universe. There's no galaxy. What's left? Now I remove you. Now start the spark again. Now that point is what the center of all of this is on. In our mind, in rational thinking, you don't believe in a higher power by accident, nor did the ancient peoples of old think in the higher power by accident. Man reflects, man grows through ponder and and through a word that actually me and Imam actually looked at, we don't, I'm not going to say it in this Arabic contraction yet, but to ponder or to contemplate means to actually beat against your mind. And to beat against your mind, it means to like to constantly challenge it because it's a muscle. If you are a gym junkie, you keep lifting weights and keep working out because you want to see results in your body. The brain has to be put under the same optical scope because the rational basis and through facts, anything centralized, anything governed, anything down to a mathematical equation to it, there has to be a mathematician. There has to be a writer or a painter. You can't look at the best painting in the world and not ask who painted this. You can't a house in the middle of the desert totally decked out and not ask who built this. You can't look at a planet in a solar system in an entire universe that constantly works synchronicity and not ask what synchronized it. Or we teach, because this is a problem that I that somebody would teach from a doctrine and they would teach from endpoint and you even use down to what's God's name or what is it to them. And through their standing, they're seeing miracles, seeing things that the Creator himself administrates through the through his own form of administration. And how he administrates, we will get down the line. But through that standpoint, they will use the name in names. And then in using names, they say, I know this is the truth because of what God is doing for me in this name. But before man had the inkling to call any name or any doctrine of the Creator, he did not need doctrine, nor did he need a book to prove his existence. So how did man come to this thought? How does man come to the thought that we need doctrine or an authority to tell us about who the Creator is? And we'll get down to that. So the next is, so as I eat, so I am fed. Man is finite and stands of sustenance. So me as a finite creature, and analyzing myself, I just realized I cannot remove myself from existence. Sin is sustaining me now. Now I realize that food, at the base of every community, something sustains me. A child comes in the world and it's immediately proclaiming. It's immediately calling out in a need. After its moment of toil comes in the peace. During the moment of peace, when it gets to smell its mother and gets an extra warmth and it gets fed by its mother, it understands, the child understands its relationship and its need to be sustained. It's a common relationship between creature and Creator. You need to eat. You need to sustain yourself. You have to drink water. You must eat food one day. You have to go use the bathroom. You get urges for a woman, or a woman gets an urge for a man. Things that are naturally happening within your finite capabilities that you are capable of breaking through natural means. Not going to say people have not broken things, but through natural means, if these are inclinations that cannot be broken, man's nature must be met. And these are things that can be argued and may not. So I, as a human, realize that as a finite creature, I am in need of sustenance. Topic three for today is, just as animals form communities, so do humans. So as mentioned earlier, animals are forming communities. All right, and the end answer the question soon. Right now, I just want to cover the topics. All right, just as animals form communities, so do humans. Animals all form communities as humans do, common principles. Now, all of these communities, because the word is very vast, there are many things that form, that communities or groups form on. Whether the principles are sown into them that will grow them into governments or something that is sustainable for the future is up to whether the principles are being applied in their own individual ways. Now, I'm not going to know which of these 10 principles that is the indefinite principles into making energy, but these are the ones that through some research I put together. Will be food. Number 2 will be clothing. Number 3 will be shelter. 4 would be water. Number 5 would be sunlight. Number 6 will be agriculture. Number 7 will be culture. Number 8 will be education. Number 9 the establishing of schooling. And number 10 will be government. Now, in putting this aspect that animals do these too, you can look at how bees govern themselves, that they sustain themselves with food. They build beehives. They have got the concept of shelters down. Clothing, well, they don't actually wear clothes, but they do protect themselves as far as their raiment. They need water. They sustain that sunlight. They sustain their form of sunlight. Thus, they have a relationship with plants, and they have to keep that relationship going in order to bring the product. They have a centralized way to called the bee route, and where they find the honey and the good plants, and they even know how to sell that to others and tell them, know how to tell one another how to spread this. The agriculture, they also are able to, you know, alter the ground and things like that, and they are able to change those things towards their benefit. They are known to build out of the ground as well. They are known to find resources out of the ground as well. And they have a culture. Bees are very, very culturalized in that they protect their own and also know of the other creatures that live around them. They educate themselves. As I said, they teach each other things as the ant community. You could say in a more advanced way that, you know, we have schools now, so a place to teach themselves. They all do all of this in the hive, and you could say this could be the same way as we have a centralized government around a singular building or a community around similar morals and ethics. So the bee and the ant are two prime examples of how animals do not fail in their obligation in forming communities. Now that those are in perspective, now I would like to get to the last half where we're open to some more open questions. I'll start with some thoughts on what we think and on these topics. And the first one is, on what may we say we know the truth? So these are two types of truths that I would like to put under microscope right now, and that is absolute truth established on principles. I'm still a little new with this word, the epistemology, and we got the imam on the show, so we'll be able to go into this a little more, and relevant truth. And what I've obtained from relevant truth is beliefs and truths that is relevant to individuals, meaning 2 + 2 = 4 to me, but 2 + 2 = 8 to you. And to you, the truth that's relevant to you is that it's 8. And though in question of absolute fact in front of your face, your truth still remains relevant. That's as much as I've obtained on it. So with that, I would like the questions at hand is, what do you feel, okay, and this is for Ron and Dr. Imam Iskia Muhammad, your mics are going to be open. I'm going to start with the Imam, and I'm going to ask, what is your take on your journey towards where your heart resolved towards chaining absolute truths together for yourself, and what have you concluded on what are relevant truths?
Okay. Yes, you gave a very excellent introduction as you laid out various aspects of community and community development. You spoke of the development of community with the animals as well as with human beings. And so there's universal truth, and this universal truth is immutable. In other words, it cannot be changed. And to give you an example of a universal truth with respect to community, the fact that community is a natural progression for all creatures, including human beings. All living things form community among themselves, even if with certain animals they are a community of one within this species. And so the one thing that I would like this audience to know about community is that it is part of the nature of all living creatures to form community. It is a natural progression. And so what that actually means is that we all live in neighborhoods. All of our neighborhoods are supposed to be a community because it is our nature to come together as human beings and support one another. Just like God put that nature in the animals. And Joachim just spoke about the bees and how they actually form the beehive. And their pursuit of the development of the beehive is so intricate, and we learned this from science, that the bees actually scout, you know, the area to see where they can establish themselves, where they would be close to water, where they would be close to flowers. They look for places that could accommodate the whole beehive. And this is the intelligence of bees. And they send out a committee of bees to conduct a search. All of the bees don't go on the search for a place where they can establish themselves. So it's a small committee, maybe about five bees, and they look at different areas, and they actually communicate because every creature that God creates is intelligent. And every creature God creates seeks to maximize its potential and maximize community formation. Every creature does this. Everything God created is intelligent. And, you know, to give you an example of that, you know, I was working in a bakery one day. I was a young person. I think I may have been past my teenage years. And I had some big boots on because you had to wear these boots to conduct your job, you know, so that nothing heavy falls on your feet and damage your feet. So I saw a cockroach, and I had my big boots on, and I raised my foot to crush this cockroach. And, you know, when you see a cockroach, you crush it with zeal. You want to destroy it. So I raised my foot, and then the cockroach flipped upside down and played dead. And when I looked at it and it was on his back, you know, I was so curious. I withheld my foot. I said, what is going on with this cockroach? And so I put my foot down on the floor. I didn't crush it because it evoked my curiosity. And then as soon as I put my foot on the ground, the cockroach flipped back over and took off. And I was like, wow, this cockroach actually fooled me, the human being, and we're supposed to be superior over the insects. But there was no superiority there. That cockroach fooled me, and because it fooled me, it maintained its life. And so this is how I learned early in my life that all of God's creatures are intelligent. And not only that, there's intelligence all throughout the earth, and there's intelligence in the heavens. And the whole creation is intelligent. The earth is intelligent. The sun is intelligent. The moon is intelligent. The solar system is intelligent. You know, what science has revealed up until 2022 is that there is intelligence throughout the known universe. And so knowing that human beings in their natural state are also intelligent, and one of the things we do instinctively is form community. And that is a universal truth, that we are designed to form community. And community is an organized system of people working all together for one common cause, preparing oneself for the future generations and living one's life to reach a particular finality where the community fulfills the purpose for which God created it. Every community has a story to tell. Every community is unique and distinct from one another. Every community will manifest certain skills, abilities, talents, and best practices that is only unique to them and them alone. And every community of people seeks to fulfill the purpose for which God created it. And this is what should be taught, you know, in the centers of our American life, in the school systems throughout America, in the houses where God's name is venerated. You know, they should be taught community formation, and they should be apprised of the idea that community formation is a natural process. And so when we have our families, you know, the first thing we do is we have to feed ourselves. And so food is certainly a fundamental aspect of community life. And but not only feeding ourselves, we have to control the food process. We have to seek and develop food security. Like our communities, within the African-American communities, you know, we see that there's very few stores, there's very few grocery stores with African Americans in the African American community. Now, how is that possible? How come there's no, I guess, desire or need to feed ourselves? Is because someone or something obstructed the process. We know exactly what happened. Government interferes in the African American community, and they facilitate the creation of ghettos in our neighborhoods. You know, the ghetto where you have dilapidation, you have utter destruction, you have buildings that are uninhabited, you have dirt and trash in the streets, you have people strung out on drugs, you have people abusing alcohol, you have three liquor stores on one block in the neighborhood. You know, people may think, oh, this is what these people built. This is the extent of community that these people want. But nothing could be further from the truth. You have actually government interfering, blocking, and obstructing the natural formation of community coming to us as a people. And this is why we don't own and don't control our neighborhood, because the intent and purpose of local government is to prevent the formation of community life, to prevent the formation of that which is natural and instinctual for all people. Right, and everything I'm saying is based on a universal truth, absolute truth. And you have universal truth and you have relative truth where, you know, it's true for one person but not true for the other, you know. And, you know, that may be so. You know, just say you have a strong man can bench press, you know, heavy weights, but then you may have a weak person, or maybe a child, you could only bench press lightweight, you know, and so that's a truth. You know, that truth is relative, based on the size and the strength of both human beings. You know, the stronger person could bench press more than the smaller or the weaker person. But both of them are human beings. So you do have relative truth. But one of the things that really surprised me, you know, going through school, is that they essentially told us that there are no universal truths that we have to pay attention to. All truth is relative. That's what they told me. And this is what they taught in the colleges and universities across America, that everything is relative based on the individual. But that is not the case. And, you know, as Joachim just mentioned, you know, he talked about mathematics, you know, and 2 times 2 is 4. It is always 4. It will always be 4. It will never be any other number than 4. That is a universal principle of truth. 2 times 2 is 4. And the whole mathematical times table is a consistent array of universal truth. And this is why we can study it, because it's logical and it's rational. So we could study it, and we could also use mathematics to build. We can build tall
skyscrapers. We can build bridges and tunnels based on mathematics, because it is logical and it is solid and it is based on universal truth. So if anybody tell you that there's no universal truth, you know, disagree with that. Challenge that, because there are universal truths that undergird everything in our community and in our society. And it's absolutely imperative that every human being, every citizen of the towns and cities across the United States of America understand that there are universal truths that everyone has to respect and recognize and utilize for the establishment of their community and their society. All right, so these are beautiful things. And so we're seeking, as I sort of draw a conclusion to my remarks, we're seeking to build community. And we're looking at the South, and we're in contact with African-American farmers, you know, who produce fruits and vegetables as well as livestock. And we understand, you know, based on human history, that the first order of business is food development and food production. That's the first order of business. You know, the first order of business when I got married was I have to fill up my refrigerator. And this is what I did. And this is what I do to this day. And my wife, sometimes she complains. She says, you know, we don't have no more room for food. You know, for me, that's a good thing. That's great, you know, that we have to stuff items in the refrigerator. You know, and then I had the temerity to go out and buy a freezer. So that which we couldn't fit in the refrigerator, in the freezer part, we have a big freezer where I stuff food in there. And then I bought some racks, you know, that we could store canned goods and things of that nature. You know, because in my orientation, food development was very important. As I mentioned, I was from the Nation of Islam. We were building a nation, and they taught us that you have to have your own food. You have to have farmland. You have to be able to produce your own food. And that is another universal truth, that every people are responsible for themselves, and every people have to assume responsibility for themselves. You know, and this goes not only for African American and the Latino population, but for the Chinese, for the Indian population, for Native Americans who are still here on the reservations. You know, every people, the Europeans, Caucasians, the Jewish people, Christians, whatever you are, you have a responsibility to own and control the means of food production. You know, and all of our great leaders, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., spoke about farming and food production. Malcolm X, Al-Haj Malik al-Shabazz, we know him as Malcolm X, spoke about acquiring land and food development. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad spoke about and taught us the importance of agriculture and agricultural development. You know, what we're endeavoring to do is bring a re-education for the masses of the people to draw to their attention the importance of developing their own food, creating organic foods without the pesticides and the chemicals that they put on the food and the hormones that they give to the livestock to fatten them up so that they could sell it for a greater price. You know, we want to bring this kind of action to a screeching, freaking halt. And we want to provide organic foods into the neighborhood. So this is what we're working on as we speak. And we're working on this in the South, you know, where our ability to sustain ourselves was taken from us. And in the areas in the South, the African-American community were slaves. And so we want to respond to that. And we feel that because we have life at this day and time, that we all are the answers to our ancestors who perished under the conditions of slavery, suffering, and death. And all communities who suffered under those conditions, you who are here today are the response to that suffering. And you and I who are here today answer the prayers and the cries of our ancestors who suffered. We are the living answers. And so we ought not waste our time, you know, playing games, partying for no reason whatsoever, celebrating nothing. You know, we really should get to work and be productive and help all of those organizations who are doing beautiful work. You know, there's African American farm coalitions and associations that are already in existence. You know, we want to be able to support them and what they're doing. We want to facilitate a process through which the African American farmers don't have to petition the government for loans to buy farm equipment. We want to be able to raise money for the farmers so that we can buy our own equipment without government assistance, because we understand that government is working against us. That is so clear, and history bears that out. The government, the federal government, you know, beautiful America, is working against our formation of community and our community development. We are clear on that, and we must really understand these points. And that's not to say that everything is bad in America, because everything is not bad. You know, there's some good things that's happening, but we have to recognize the truth of what is going on so that we can respond to that truth with intelligence, as God has placed with all creatures intelligence. We have to be intelligent, you know, and if we do that, we're going to be successful. So let us work on just organizing ourselves with food. Because with food, and then you have stores to provide the fruits and the vegetables and the meats, and then you have to employ people to run the stores. So you have right there the beginning of an economy. And developing an economy is part of the community. And so we cannot ignore economics and economic development, you know, as we go forward. And then we need to be able to educate ourselves, and we also need the cultural development, you know. But that's another story for another time. And, you know, hopefully if I'm invited back, we'll talk about development of culture and what we need in our culture, because we as individuals, we as community have to take responsibility for cultural development. We can't just wait to we hear some songs or wait until someone introduces something outside of our community. You know, we have to really develop ideas for our cultural life, our economic life, our cultural life, and how we're going to manage and administrate all of the aspects of our growing community.
Amen. I hope everybody deeply appreciated your take, as I did. I took a lot of notes. That is something that I would like to recommend to everybody. And in from this is lesson one, and continuing with our stories, we are going into a deep analytical eye of information and sciences towards the forming of universal truth. And he gave feedback on his own journeys in development and what they are doing in the South currently right now, and in his own journeys of going through the schools and seeing how university levels they teach the notion that they are no universals, but that at the core of it, humanity is in need of sustenance and food, and communities develop around that food process. Having power, who makes your food and where your food comes from, it makes you self-sufficient. It leaves you openings to develop more and not relying on outside alien sources to develop your community for itself. So we actually have two new people who joined in the show. That's 205 and a 646 number. We actually asking questions right now, and everybody's allowed to get feedback. I'll give it over to Ron in 1 second. Dr. Imam Askia Muhammad on the show. He got an opportunity to break down from that was asked about universal truth versus, we talked about just as animals form communities, so do humans. We talked about food production, clothing, shelter, water, sunlight, agriculture, culture, education, schools, and government. And two animal tools around forming a communities was the ant and the bee. And he gave a great feedback into why this is very important to establish, own, and control the means of our own food production and growth, such as Martin Luther King, Maliki Alha Shabazz, or some may know him as Malcolm X, Elijah Muhammad, and I would add my own, like Marcus Garvey and Bob Marley. They even spoke about, you know, wait, tell me where you came from, I'll tell you where you... They talked a lot about your food and how, you know, once you rob a person of his culture and his food and his truth, you rob him of his humanity. If somebody else is telling you how to dress and how to and what is the fashion and what you need to eat and what you need to believe in, can you really tell yourself whether or not you are yourself, or are you living a matrix or a shell of what you think is common reality? So with that, just turn over now to Ron Robinson, and then I am going to ask, I'm going to see it. 205 would like to answer question or give some feedback around what do you feel towards universal truths and relevant relative truths, and take on the us needing to sustain and build a community at its core. Okay, so without further ado. Brother Ron?
Oh, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm sorry. I muted myself. I'm sorry.
Okay. So you just muting everybody here. I'm just you know, amen, amen, amen to Brother Minister Dr. Iman, whom I know very well. I was on those New York seminary boards in the ecumenical groups with my pastor, Dr. Timothy Burkett, and you know, all what he talked about is the fact of being human. When we say human beings, we talk about the state of being human. And being the state of being human, you have to have all these concepts, all these things that you need. You need air, you need water, you need sight, you need to think, you need to have peace of mind. The human being, the conceptualization of the human structure is to have community, to have wife, to have kids, to have family, extended, and even community family. You know, community is so important to the human being. The humanitarianism, being human, the concept of humanity, all that stuff is about community. So Dr. Iman just put it all into a conceptualization that I can't add any more to it, but I just say amen, amen to everything he said and, you know, going forward. Thank you so much. I think you mute yourself again, possibly.
Yeah, thank you, brother, because I was feeling, oh, man, sorry. Amen. Okay, yeah, so Ron Robinson got an opportunity to get feedback on Dr. Iman Masih Muhammad's take on community development for us as a human creation or a human aspect to our planet, as the animals form communities and centralize it around communication, food, aspects of belonging, marriage, etc. They have communities. Communities at its principle are formed on universal truths that cannot be shaken or fought against. And now if we can't establish universal truths, we would like to know more on, if there are not universal truths that we can align on, then what goes into the development of a community. So without further ado, 205, you've been among us for a while. You can give an opportunity to either give some feedback or on universal principles of truth and relative principles of truth. And you're on. Hello, 205-742.
Terrence Ruffin speaking. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, how you doing? Yes.
Yes, yes. By the sound of my southern drawl, y'all know I'm an Alabamian. And I was listening in on what the doctor and the speakers was saying. And I've been observing this thing for years now. I'm also a business owner. I'm down in the south, Lisbon, Alabama, about 100 miles north of Mobile. And I'm in the land where David Ruffin, y'all remember the famous Temptation? David Ruffin, I'm one of his relatives. That's where he come from, the same area I'm applying to y'all now. But at any rate, I have been on the town council of out of town, which is, we are about 98% black. We have land. We have a black mayor. We have all these things, sewage, water. But we need black businesses. We need the absolute truth that y'all talking. And I often wonder, what happened to the black people? Why do we lead the South? The South is changed now. I mean, we could come back if we don't went off up north. I got plenty of family in Detroit, Chicago, who left the area. And we can come back. We got doctors, lawyers. We got all kind of things in our educational system. And what good is to get all this education and then go back into the plantation 101? If you get education, what's the difference between an educated slave and a field hand slave? So all the education in the world don't do us no good if we don't bring it back to ourselves. We got to start giving back. And like I heard speaker saying, universal truths don't change. And we got to start following, like you're saying, our own self and building into our own selves. So what good is it for us to be rocket scientists and we don't have rockets? So we're going to work on rockets. We got that accountability in mind to have the ability to work on rockets. Why don't we work on rockets for our own community and our own selves, which is a universal truth? We got to take care of our own self. We've been taught and led to believe that we got to be, you know, accepted, or we got to live up to what the other communities had put on before us, mainly the Caucasian race. You know, I don't know who on the phone. I don't want to offend anyone. But the truth is the truth. But like you said, we got opportunity in these southern towns. Like I said, we got black mayor, black council. We own land. And we need some lawyers. We need some smart people. We need some people to come down. We can start farming, all kind of things. We got land down here. But I would just like to get a connection with some of the people who have these ideas. Come back down and visit the South. Come back down and bring our intelligence. And bring our ability. We the most talented people on the planet. Black people, actually, from learning some truths in the Bible, we are the chosen people. We are the chosen people of God. But we come through slavery. We don't recognize and don't understand due to all the abuse and all the oppression for the last 400, 500 years, or however many years it is. But we are the chosen people. And I believe that we could come back down. We reconnect back to the South, like I hear him saying, back to farming, controlling our own product and produce, establishing our stores to put it in, and establishing that community, and establishing, absolutely cutting away from the government. The government is our enemy, not our friend. No matter how much food stamps, subsidies, and all that stuff they send it out, the hand that gives is the hand that controls. So we need to get in the giving position. I always often heard that it's better to give than it is to receive. And that holds to be a universal truth there. Because if you're in a position to give, you can control your own destiny. And we need to learn how to give back. Learn how to love one another, first of all. We as the black race, so-called blacks, we need to learn to love one another. I know we've been taught through Christianity and all this kind of stuff. Pretty much a lot of us in the South, Christianity, we don't know nothing about Muslim. Christianity, which is a demon, it hadn't been taught and led us into our own destruction. And then all our own devices that we do against ourselves. But once we learn ourselves, the true characters in the Bible and who we are, and God love us, and we the chosen people, we're going to have to get up and recognize and take that pride back and first get our reconnect back to God, that we are the people he chose us to be. Let us stand up and be the men and the women of God so that we can do those things that that we are capable of doing. So I beg to talk to anyone to come back down to the South. I know probably a lot of South Carolina, North Carolina's back down, but there's some places in Alabama where we still got a good grip on land and all kind of opportunities. But we just need the people to come back. People done left. I think our little town back in the day once was maybe bustling 5,000 or 6,000 folks in our little town, but we got about 200-300 people that live here now. And we just need some business ideas as what, you know, and go back to the fundamentals of life, just like you've been expressing in the program that I already heard. Don't want to, you know, reinvent the wheel or kick the can. further down the road. But with just that in mind, I like the idea of what the doctor is explaining. I'm not familiar with anyone on this phone, so I don't know who I'm talking to, and I know y'all don't know me, I'm 58 years old. I've been in business since I was 24. And I have to wrestle against the light-skinned folks, and then you have to wrestle against the dark-skinned folks when you're in business. But we need to change that mindset. The white man's sugar always been sweeter. It's Coca-Cola, cola, and that kind of mentality down here in the South. And it ain't just in the South. The same trick they pulled on us down here in the South, they pulled it on y'all up north, too. Yeah, you know, y'all may have more community or more people binding together better, but at the same time, the trick been put on all us, the northern black people and the southern black people. Racism exists all over this nation. It was woven into the fabric of this nation. When black people learn to pull together, stand together, we're going to be better off for it. Unity is the key to breaking anything. When we get leaders such as Dr. Martin Luther King and all the different famous ones, but we had leaders that never got a name that stood up, but they got the same treatment Dr. Martin Luther King. Y'all know what that was, a bullet, got killed. And then the very thing, a lot of times black people won't stand up for one another. If one brother get brave enough to become a leader and stand up against the oppression, but we, our very own, turn our back and be the worst thing against our own selves. And that got to end. So sound like in this call, my brothers on this line who under the sound of my weak voice, sound like y'all on the right track. And we definitely need to come back and get full control and get our directive from God. No other people on the planet, nothing but black people learn to get together. I often stated this, what if black people we'll come together and carve out 3, 4, 5. They said what? They said we make up 13-14% of the population. I guarantee you, if black people will become solid, we will make every other race in this nation suffer. Because all these nations suck our blood and use us. They said if you will put all the GDP and the income of black people in America, we rank in the top 10, top 20. A nation in the world. And why do we end up? Why do we end up still so fragmented, so scattered, so divided until we can't come together and pull something off? We ought to declare one of these states right here, all black people report to the state of Alabama or whatever state we want to pick and get all our doctors, lawyers, teachers, blacksmiths, carpenters, plumbers, all the technical, all the academia, and pull together, we can make these other people respect us. And so, brothers, I'm going to close out with that. If y'all want to know who I am or get to know me better, I hope y'all got call ID. Y'all talk to me, talk to me. And I'm an educated man. It might not sound like it, but I am. I have a degree. I had an engineering degree. And electronics, and we are doing the best we can with what we got. I don't hold myself out to be an academic man, but I'm definitely a technical man. If we want to fix and do all kind of stuff in the technical world, I'm your man. So with that said, I close out. My name is Terrence Ruffin. Good talking to y'all, and hope I said something that'll be a benefit and a help to the movement of what we on the phone for. Thank you. Give me this opportunity.
Say thank you for all that feedback. And is it okay if I actually send you a after the radio show with my information and some information? We can actually invite you to our council meeting.
Yes, that'll be fine with me. You can text it.
All right, great.
Email or whatever you want to get it to me. If you got my telephone number, text it to me, and we can get together. I think we on a beautiful move. I think we on the right track.
Amen. And just quick, because we about have 15 minutes. I want to say it was very heartwarming hearing it coming from you. And one thing I believe the Creator has endowed me with this ability is I can feel like it's this pain from the past that makes me feel responsible for where I am now. And I actually felt it heightened when I got an opportunity to, you know, meet Dr. Iman Skia Muhammad and Reverend Ron Robinson, because they're take with me into the past and a critical look and aspect. And my grandfather's an African-American man. I'm half Hispanic and African-American. And when it comes, I was able to look into my past to understand where his background came from, his background in the South, who were the tribe Indians, and going further behind that. And it made me understand the struggle it takes for us to be here. But when I get to hear it from brothers that go through the struggle in our present time, it makes me truly understand what type of fight this truly is, and how us as a self-sufficient people will be the most, it will be the most detrimental to a people who continue to suck and feed off the and life force of us as a people. Because if you build a system that is continually contingent on taking from others, and it really is contingent on whether we remain ignorant or not, and whether we remain ignorant or not, not try to put our minds together towards the establishment of community, it will continue to hang in a balance that is only depends on whether we remain asleep or not. That to me is a system, though strong, has been before our eyes all along. And I'm very motivated in seeing them. I do believe that a community has to be founded on the sole Creator of the universe. And the reason why we didn't get into scripture yet, because we'll get into the histories of the books in general, and I guess everybody to either ask questions and go even deeper for myself to learn more. And so when it comes to that aspect, and we look at morals and we look at ethics that we establish one another on, and we look at why did you feed that other person? What was that inclination in your stomach that when you ate and you looked over and somebody was a little less fortunate than you, and you got that feeling in your stomach that said, this be that enjoyable right now because I see the state and that my fellow man is in right there. You might offer him a dollar. You might have even gave your meal offer at one time, or et cetera. If still inside your body, inside your heart, there's still an inclination to see a fellow person sufficient, not movements that are contingent on a leader. I'm going to say it, brainwashing his community on things that are not established on universal truths, nor does he himself subject to be scrutinized by his community in the sense where they might give him feedback. They might say, hey, you didn't see this. Remember this principle on that. And leaders are supposed to be in a humbling position where they thank you for that information. It goes towards the establishment of the community, the betterment of the community. Not in a halty way where we use information to almost combat each other and lose and forget the sole purpose of communal development and growing a closer bond and relationship to the one who created us. So amen to that. I'm going to take in the next person that actually had an opportunity that's been on for a while, 46702. That's you. You are on. 646, hello? 6402? 10, 9, 8, 7. Hello? 646702. I'm going to have to put you back on mute. Thank you for being on. Please, if you need the information to find out further about the show, you can ask. I'm going to give the number out. The show. Thank you. 571, you have been on for a while as well. If you want to say something, you are unmuted. 571-260. Okay. 914-979, you've been on for a while. Would you like to say something? Feedback?
Yes, 914-979. Can you hear me? Peace and blessings. Can you hear me?
Yes. How you doing, Benjamin?
All right. And yourself?
I am good. How's everything?
Oh, yeah. Giving thanks. God is still in the blessing business, brother. And one thing is this, that what my brother was just finished talking about there was very true. You know, we definitely need to come together in unity and see what we can do to be a blessing to our community. And in doing that, you know, we're going to be able to bring some really positive and great change, you know, to our community as well, especially in us, you know, activating and really elevating our consciousness up on high so that we can actually activate some of our spiritual ability to make some positive changes. And that's going to really be a huge impact on our community because, you know, one of the big problems you mentioned before about being brainwashed, that's this. You know, we've been told that, you know, we don't have any spiritual power. You know, it's really interesting, too, because a gentleman even came on my radio show not too long ago, and he was telling me that, hey, you know, don't be talking no more about, you know, that, you know, our sons and daughters of God and have spiritual power and all of this. That's a bunch of BS. And, you know, if you're going to do something crazy like that, you know, basically they call it Christianity insanity, and they're going to throw your ass in jail. And I was like, what? You know? I couldn't even believe somebody was even talking like that. But basically, when you do run into people like that that are, you know, making sure that they can try to put up fear and brick walls of fear and doubt for our people not to even go down that road of plugging their true ability to do great, awesome, and amazing things, that's when sometimes, you know, you will turn off some of our people. But at the same time, there are folks out there that do believe that we do have that ability and that we can actually bring about awesome and amazing changes in our community. So time will tell, but I do believe that over a period of time, we'll be able to bring folks together in unity and start to see some great and wonderful change in our community. And that would really be great. But the bottom line is you have to believe it in order to achieve.
Amen. I appreciate the feedback. I hope everybody got to appreciate that as well. I am now in the last closing out of the show. I am going to Dr. Imama and Reverend Ron Robinson, you are unmuted. And in closing for us, I'm going to say that next lesson will be a deep dive into history. So we looked at science. We're going to look a little more in depth in science, in what establishes you as a believer. We're going to go deeper into these words, words like believer, word like sin, word like worship, word like religion, word like Bible, word like Quran, word like Tanakh, all of the words and their origin of the words. And we're going to go, and this is for everybody to start, and you guys can do your information. I'm going to give segments where you can break down your feedback on your position of the question. And the question is to be on, how did you find out about the existence of the Creator? This show started with telling you about the Creator through a rational chain of principles, a universal truth. We went into the science of the animals, the science of the human body, science of the different communities on the surface of the planet, to the universe, to the advanced mathematical equation that is existence, that these things are moving at mathematics on a fixed equation. That is a universal truth. Thus, we acknowledge that there is a universal mathematician, one that has prescribed this universal code to begin moving throughout our present universe. So we will ask ourselves that. How did you learn about God or what you deem is the creator? And what is, these are the three questions. What is a prophet? And how do you check the validity of statements made by a prophet or doctrine they came with? So with that said, I pray that the Most High and Creator of the universe continues to give all of us endowment and understanding. As I have been in this position to be able to give out insights or knowledges towards him, I pray that he forgives me for any human error that I have made. Anything that was of truth and stands on universal truth comes from me. It comes from the Most High, blessed and benevolent be he, creator of the universe. It is not mine, nor is it to be attributed to me. It is attributed to the creator of the universe. And we pray that the creator continues to evolve for the establishment of truth and through the action of works, that we would like to take knowledges that we are learning and not cast them before swine lest they be trodden under. And we do not want to throw away or garnish the blessings in which you are giving us. We would like to take the knowledges that we are learning together, the human race, that you may continue to evolve our minds and spirits in you. We may take these knowledges and apply them towards the evolvement of our planet, our communities, our earth, our culture, our minds, our love, our children, and all things that we care about under your divine. Amen. Amen. Imam, you have about 4 minutes. Y'all can get 2 minutes apiece to say something.
Yes. I would like to say that, Brother Jaquim, you are an excellent host, and the program was well laid out, and I appreciate you immensely. I would like to also thank the gentleman who called, and sound like he's reaching out, so we want to make communications with him. And if anyone wants information about our council, the Community Coordinating Council, which is a national organization, feel free to give your information to Jaquim, and he'll pass that information to us and ensure that you'll be able to come on our council meeting. But we're free to meet with you, whatever state you're in, throughout the South, and we look forward to that opportunity. So I would like to just thank everyone who spoke, and I would like to thank Ron Johnson, who made some comments, and he said that he knows me. You know, I look forward to, formally meeting with him as well. So thank you very much. Take care.
You said,
Oh, okay. All right. So, okay, Reverend Ron Robinson and Dr. Iman, with an ecumenical group together years ago, and my pastor, Dr. Timothy Burkett, sat on the board of New York Seminary, and going way, way back, a long, long time ago. So it was always great to hear him. And like I said, everything he said was exact on point and spiritually led and anointed words. And I can just tell everybody, you know, continue to be the best you, continue to let God order your footsteps, continue to look up to the Most High, and, you know, continue to love. You know what I'm saying? When we talk about the love of the black community, the love of black women, black men, black children, we're not saying hate white children, hate Spanish children, hate Asian children, hate Indian children. We're saying that once you know to love yourself, you know to love others. And if you are the truly calling people by God,
and you are truly called by God, then your mission is love. Your mission is love for everyone, because nobody owns God. Nobody owns religion. You know, they conceptualize it in religiosity, and they put it into doctrine and theory. But all intents and purposes, nobody owns it. Only thing we have to offer is God love to everybody. But before you can love anybody else, you got to learn to love yourself. Learn to love yourself. Learn to love who you are, learn to love your community, and then reach out to other communities as well. Because we got to come together as human beings, as spiritual people led by the Creator. Or we're going to, the Bible says, either you're going to live together in brotherhood, or you're going to die separate as fools. I'd rather to live together as brotherhood. And I mean that with everybody. So God bless. Everybody have a good weekend. And once again, you know, Like Dr. Iman said, Jaquan did a beautiful, beautiful program. And everybody, keep coming on. Keep coming. Just say this again. Every Friday night, 7 to 9, a minister of brothers, Jaquan Diago, will be on here. And everybody, keep coming on. There's a lot to learn from him. He has a lot to offer. And so I want to encourage everybody, don't make this your last time. Make this a scheduled thing every Friday night, 7 to 9. And I know he'll be on tomorrow night as well, helping and working with Dr. Benjamin Bridges on Spiritual Unity and Meditation Program. And so that's 7 to 9 tomorrow as well. So people, keep coming on. Let's keep unifying. Thank you so much. God bless.
Amen. See y'all tomorrow. I hope y'all be there with Brother Benjamin. We'll be right back in it. Amen. Thank you for everybody. Hopefully, Dr. Iman Askia will be back next week with us, and everybody else will be back. Amen. And refer people. Make sure you refer people. Invite other like-minded people or somebody you would like to hear a message. You guys enjoy your night. Make sure you keep me and everybody else in prayer, and God bless.